Hey, I just wanted to say thank you for listening to the podcast. It's been awesome seeing the reach it has had and the impact it's made to so many micro gym owners. And if you found this podcast helpful, please keep listening and enjoy the free content. But if you ever need to dedicate some real time to fixing an aspect of your business, I would love the opportunity to learn more about your problem and see if I can help solve it. My objective is to educate, guide, and empower gym owners to become self-sufficient in growing their business without indefinitely relying on business coaches. Yes, business coaches like myself. Because if we can collectively raise our business IQ, then we all benefit as a whole. When I start working with a new client, I'm instantly thinking, how can I get myself fired and get a raving review at the same time? The answer? Solve the gym owner's problem. Engineer the game plan that is going to help them achieve their desired outcome and do it effectively and efficiently. If I do everything right, then we should be able to conclude our time working together and you continue kicking ass and growing your business on your own. Because getting fired because I solved your problem is what I strive for. So if that resonates with you at all, please shoot me a DM on Instagram at WTF Gym Talk and tell me more about what you're struggling with. I'll let you know what I think and we can go from there. That's all, guys. Enjoy the podcast. What is up, guys? It is Stu, and it is another episode of the What the Fuck Gym Talk podcast. I am far more bullish on concepts and ideas that I see in which the USP, the unique sales proposition for the gym, isn't a thing or a methodology or a way to do the workout, but instead it's a unique avatar or a unique core customer, one that has been underserved. And when I mean underserved, and I don't mean it in a philanthropic way, like, you know, low income housing and inner city poverty. That's not what I'm referring to. I think for a 501c3, a nonprofit, I think that's incredible. But from a concept validation perspective for a for-profit business, that I, you know, that would be tough to make it work. When I'm saying an underserved market, I mean a niche sector of the active fitness seeking market that doesn't have a place that is just theirs. So last year around, I don't know, it was October or so, maybe before then, I had Dustin Jones on, who is the co-founder of Stronger Life, which is a 55 plus group fitness business. You got to be 55 or older to get in. It is a place where this group of active older adults can come together. And he is doing nothing special, meaning in terms of the fitness. It's not special. He's doing, you know, all the constantly varied functional movements at appropriate intensities as most of us are doing. Whether you're CrossFit or Orange Theory or metabolic weight, he's doing functional fitness. So what he's doing is not special. It's not unique. But that group that he has gone after successfully, and he didn't just go after them and say, well, we're going to go after 55 and older. But, you know, if a couple 40-year-olds come through, you know, or, you know, some creepy 32-year-old who's into old chicks, like, yeah, we'll take their money's green. We'll let, no, you have to be this old to get in. That creates a level of exclusivity. And exclusivity, when done with the right niche, is incredibly interesting to me from a business plan, a concept validation, because what that means is that your thing that's going to make you unique can't be easily replicated. And what I mean by that is, could another gym pop up and say, I'm also 55 and older? They sure could. Sure as hell could. But people say that, like, oh, you could just pop up another one. Sure you could. You got to realize that for these guys, for any entrepreneur who is going to really niche in on a certain market, it's scary. When you really think of the cost of starting the business and maintaining the business, and you're just niching in on this very small section where the numbers get tiny, right? The amount of people in your immediate, you know, addressable market, you start thinking to yourself, like, fuck, what if I can't storytell them, message them? There's not enough. Like, I mean, if I'm really just going to stay with this core customer, what happens if I'm unsuccessful in reaching them?
What if I, this is not actually, what if I'm not providing a solution to a problem that they believe they have? So it versus someone who's like, yeah, it's going to be a gym. So everybody needs fitness. So anybody could join. I'm not secluding it to a certain segment of the population. So it's less fearful when your total addressable market is enormous, is huge, because you'll take anybody. But once you go with a unique core customer, a very niche segment, it can be scary. There's a client I'm working with right now, and without giving out too much information, because it's still a concept, we're just finishing up the real estate side of the whole thing, but they're essentially going to open up a open gym concept, but it's pretty much primarily functional fitness equipment. There'll be some plate loaded machines, a cable crossover, but mainly it's designed to be a place where that CrossFitter kind of graduates to when they've kind of outgrown their gym's programming. They want to do their own thing, but their gym can't support open gym at any time. It can only be during certain times. It's also, you know, for those who don't want to be doing, you know, functional strength and conditioning at the YMCA because it's overcrowded, or they just don't have the right space for it, right? If you want to put together your own little workout and follow someone else's programming, you know, maybe you pay for a, you know, some online programming solution. You want to be able to, you know, bring a rower over by your pull-up bar and put some dumbbells there. You can't create your own space, right? Or for those people who have a garage gym that don't want to go to group classes, but are now, especially way post-COVID, they're just, you know, they're tired of working out by themselves. But they have a program they like to follow, but they'd love the energy of other people following their own programs or doing their own thing around them. So that's his unique sales proposition, right? He is going after a very core customer. With something like that, with a functional fitness, primarily open gym model, you can't go after new people. Zero new people. Zero new people. Why? Well, because new people wouldn't know how to use functional fitness equipment without education. So they would, you know, they have to educate themselves enough at another gym or at their home gym or work with the trainer elsewhere, whatever, for this to be somewhere that we would want to, or somebody we want to market to. He is, you know, we're having the discussion on personal training and all that other stuff, but the core service is just open gym, fully like open gym, functional fitness, free weights, turf, like, you know, create your own workout. It's your place, you know, kind of essentially fitness freedom. So we can't go after new people because that wouldn't make any sense. You can't go after people who are loving group fitness because that doesn't, they love group fitness. They don't even want to do open gym. So who are you speaking to? Just, you know, essentially those segments I talked about. CrossFitters who kind of want to graduate on, do their own thing. Their current gym can't support them. People who are doing functional fitness programming inside of facilities that don't accommodate. And garage gymmers who don't need your programming, don't need a group doing everything, but it would be nice to work around some other motherfuckers. Just like you'll give more of yourself in the presence of other people type scenario. So that's the unique niche. So what he's doing is not that unique. I mean, I guess it kind of is, you know, how many open gym models are there that is primarily functional fitness equipment? Most of them kind of tailor to more of a bodybuilding-esque equipment layout and clientele. But still, you know, that's something that anybody could copy. But it's very hard to really put together a business plan, get the loans, and pull the trigger and have the balls to sign off with a personal guarantee on this idea when you're going to niche in this deep. But that, to me, when I'm looking at the plans for a business, that's something that pops out to me. Number one, I know I'm dealing with somebody who's got some grit. I know I'm dealing with a owner who is willing to take, who understands what this whole thing is. It's risk and reward evaluation. Being an entrepreneur, I've said it before, is the ability to solve problems for people and then receive monies for doing so. That's what an entrepreneur is. In this scenario, or how I'm speaking about it here, I really think of like someone who's going to make it as someone who is willing to take a gamble, meaning it's not a surefire thing. Not that I'm not calling franchisees on, not they're not entrepreneurs. I kind of go back and forth with that one. But they're not really taking a risk if you're a franchisee of any brand in any industry. The proof of concept was there, right? You know it's successful. You've met people. You've been to their other locations. There's not a ton of risk other than you fucking it up. But with someone who's going to start off and with something unique, meaning they're going after a unique core customer, a very small segment of the population that is underserved, that does not have a location that is just their own, that, I believe, is very entrepreneurial. And those are the things that interest me. Less and less and less business play. Like, you know, if I see one more pitch for, all right, so it's this super connected gym and the app connects to this and then your house and your Alexa and then like your macros go in here and it's like always tech enabled. Those are less interesting to me. And I'm not saying that it's not that they're not viable, good options, that they can't make a lot of money. They're just not interesting to me. What's interesting to me is when I see these niche, especially now, the open gym or group fitness models that are, the fitness is not overly unique, but the avatar they're going after is, right? Like online programming is not overly unique, but street parking is a insanely successful company from every financial metric and personal achievement metric you can think of. What Miranda and Julian have done with that company, I mean, if you guys have not listened to that Shoot the Shit episode I did with them in their garage, holy Christ. They didn't do anything special on the fitness side. They did do something incredibly special on the unique avatar they went after, their core customer. They're essentially doing CrossFit in a garage, but they're doing it for moms and dads, probably with some level of past functional fitness experience, who no longer want to go to the group class. They no longer want to make the commute, can make the commute, and they've got young kids. That's probably a really strong common denominator. Not all their customers by any means, but many of them have kids and can relate to needing to do a workout with their child in the bumper seat next to them. That's what they did. Again, like you can think about like, man, you don't really need to think of like a new product and a new service. You need to think about who is currently utilizing a service of group fitness, of open gym, of personal training, of whatever. But they're doing it for a very unique reason, like out of the whole pie, like out of the entire group, like out of the entire group fitness business, right? Whether it be an F45, a CrossFit, whatever. There's a segment in there that is not like the others. Maybe they're older, maybe they're younger, maybe they're handicapped, maybe they are former D1 athletes, you know, former college athletes, and they go way fucking harder than everyone else. Whatever it is, there is a segment there that is a minority. They can't be the majority. It wouldn't make sense if they were the majority. They're probably going to be the minority inside of a general group fitness facility or a general open gym facility. But if you look at them and like, well, there's 80 of them here out of 300, or and that's a pretty decent percentage, you know, 80 of them, you know, here out of 400. I wonder how many, if there are 80 at every gym with 300 or with 400 people, how many of them are here within a 3-mile radius, 5-mile, whatever the number is. If I talk to them and I say, why do you come here? Right? So like, let's use that 55 and older crowd. And I could be butchering this for Dustin if he's listening. Dustin Jones, co-founder of Stronger Life, he was at a CrossFit gym and they had a small segment of the population that was 55 and older. And the more Dustin had conversations with him, and his business partner, Jeff, I can't leave Jeff out. The more they had conversations with him, they realized, oh, they come here because they're active older adults. They really do believe in staying active throughout their years. And they like the social element, because I don't know if you guys realize this, as you get older, your friends start dying. And as you get older, you become the minority. more people are younger than you. More people are into, you know, breweries and loud music and you know, certain scenes that, and they're just, there's less places for older adults, just bottom line, right? We kind of just like, we, older adults kind of age out, and then they would typically go into a nursing home until they die. Well, there's a lot of opportunity for creating experiences around this group. And if you actually look at the numbers, that group of 55 and older is one of the largest segments that's going to be rolling through, especially in the fitness industry, over the next 2 to 3 decades, because of how young people are getting indoctrinated with group fitness, functional fitness, you know, for the past 30 years. And not 30 years, past 20 years. So you're going to have this population of 55 and older constantly running through now that have all like grown up doing CrossFit and Orange Theory and Barry's Bootcamp, and they want to keep doing those things, but nobody is serving them. Can you imagine have it like, you know, you have a, you know, the group that I'm group I'm working with right now in Florida, we're having this discussion, and I'm trying to, you know, they got on a call, they had an idea as to who one of their avatar customers, or who they thought their avatar customer was, and on the call I just completely, you know, I was like, hey, I've got a completely different idea here. I think it's this person. And I don't want to go into all the ins and outs of that for their sake. But it's an avatar that is underserved. And it's one that you could find in every single gym. A minority of which. But that means they're underserved. That means, like, realistically, like, think about whoever you are. I'm a 38-year-old dad. I have a very high training age. I go to Core 24, and I love that gym. It is an open gym model, but it's designed for the fitness influencer, all right? I enjoy it because it's a great gym, good music, people are fit, and it's convenient to me, and I just think it's a cool as fuck gym. But if somebody created a gym that was like literally like current coaches, ex-coaches, like if somebody created a gym of like fitness entrepreneurs, like, and it was all like the people I know in Charlotte that own gyms or work in gyms, or they were a strength and conditioning coach, people around my age, mid-30s and above, and that was the group that was in there constantly, oh my God, I'd go there in a heartbeat. I'd love to fucking socialize if I could bump into other fit, if I knew that this gym really tailored to other fitness entrepreneurs and other experienced coaches. There's so many times where I just like, I'd love to be able to like, you know, not, you know, send out my workout and have a fucking conversation with somebody about business or high level fitness training, right? Not like, you doing 3 sets of 10? Like, oh my God, I'd be there in a fucking heartbeat. That's a niche audience that I would love to go. And same thing with like the, you know, Dustin's Stronger Life, those 55 and older, they love when they're there and they can relate to everybody, right? There's no like fucking, like the music is for their age, the interior decor is for their age. They feel like it's their own. I'd love that if it were like, if they had something similar like that for, I don't know what that would look like for a bunch of gym owners and, you know, experienced veterans and coaches in the industry. But I would love the atmosphere. I would just love the, I would love being a, like a place that's mine, like a Cheers, right? But on the fitness side. But in order to do that, you have to be exclusive in who you offer it to. Core 24, that gym that many of you guys know I've talked about, I've had them on a podcast. Corey Kiefer, the founder, he has built that thing so that you don't want, if you are not into that whole fitness influencer, like, you know, good lighting and videos and taking selfies and all that, you will not want to go there. You won't. I mean, I'm a content creator, so I get it and I think it's cool, even though I don't really make content about that. Except for the, you know, when I did my Respect the Tempo journal during the year training for the marathon. But it's just not what I make content on, my personal fitness. But for those that do, he's made it a place that you absolutely want to be in. And if you don't, or you aren't into it, it makes you want to puke. But that's the key, my friends. So any of you guys that are, you know, you have a concept or an idea, I'm telling you, lean into the avatar, the core customer. Because that's the thing I think that creates the greatest opportunity. And if you ever want to get on a call to run your idea through me and, you know, have me validate it or poke holes in it and show you the vulnerabilities and opportunities, please don't hesitate. Shoot me a DM on Instagram or just head over to WTFGymTalk.com to get booked on a call. Guys, until I talk to you in the next podcast, have a great fucking day.